Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of the Pretty Daily Once Again podcast. My name is Kaga.
And my name is Nicholas, and today we'll be talking about climate change and how a lot of South Asian countries are working to combat it.
Mm-hmm. And this comes especially as the Indian Railways aims to be the world's largest green railways before 2030. And this is really a big move because a lot of people know railroads are extremely important in India, especially for infrastructure in its everyday life. And this move, it really promotes just having a more clean environment. And they're actually trying to electrify a lot of the railways in the whole country, not just in some parts. And so while a lot of other countries are really debating whether climate change is real or this, it's great that some countries are actually taking steps towards addressing the root problem. And yeah, that's kind of what's happening in this move, I think. What do you think about it, Vincent?
Yeah, India is trying to make sure that their railways emit zero carbon before 2030. They're on their way to achieve zero carbon emissions by 2023. And I think this is really good because climate change is a real problem that many people acknowledge but don't do anything about. And I really think that India taking this first step into making sure one of its most biggest pollution makers is going to become zero carbon emissions is a really good thing for the world. And I hope it makes other countries realize that, yeah, we need to do something about climate change, and hopefully we can reduce the amount of carbon emissions we are producing, especially in America. It's very bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I think is a lot of other countries, if you look at them, there's a lot of partisan arguing about whether climate change is even real. And so I think even with a country like India with so far right and far left ideologies, you have a communist party right next to far right parties all running in the same country, so many different candidates, especially as conservatives are statistically less likely to agree with climate change. It's great that a country headed by, you know, the BJP, which is prominent right wing party, it's great that they're actually taking steps towards addressing this problem, right? And this is in contrast to a lot of other countries, you know, because like in America, we have a lot of politicians from, you know, the right side of the spectrum saying this isn't real, you don't have to worry about this, climate change is something that the left is doing to try to get people to spend more money on taxes, and you know, arguments like that. I think that, you know, a lot of people have to do what India's doing and actually address the problem instead of arguing whether the problem exists.
Yeah, I really think that America should adopt what India is doing. Our railroads here are kind of iffy, but like still, I feel like we need to reduce our carbon emissions. And America is one of the countries that produces the most carbon emissions. And I really do think that they need to lessen this, because if it keeps going on track, then the UN said that in like 9 years that the Earth will become a very dangerous place to live because of the amount of carbon emissions that are there in the atmosphere. And so I really think that's just a very scary thought. And I love how India is acknowledging this problem, and especially in a very politically divided area in which India is, I really love how they're acknowledging the problem and working to solve it.
Mm-hmm. And especially with the political ideology, there's like, like if you look at America, there's only about exactly two major parties, right?
Yeah.
The Democratic and Republican Party. If you look at India, it's a country with so much variety, essentially, political ideologies. There's far left, there's moderate left, there's center, there's leaning left, there's far right, there's slightly right, everything you could think of. That's really in contrast to a lot of these bigger countries, like, you know, China, the United States. China, you only have one party, right? So I really think that it's great that even if countries like India, so politically divided, they can work towards this shared goal. And I think other countries can also take this approach and actually solve this problem, that it's not just a domestic problem, but a worldwide problem.
Yeah, I really think that too. Like, India is the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases. It accounts for 2.46 billion metric tons. And I love how they're acknowledging that and trying to shorten down. But the U.S. is the foremost emitter of carbon, and it emits about 5.1 billion metric tons of energy related to carbon dioxide, which is not very good, not very good at all, right? And so I love how it's
not very good.
And if it keeps going on, like the climate and like the polar ice caps will melt, and it's just going to be a very dangerous thing for us as humans as well as the Earth. So I just love how India is taking that first step forward, planting their foot down, saying, we are going to do something about this. And they're just telling all the countries, like, this is a real problem and we have to do something to solve it. So I just love how.
Yeah, I think that's like a really great move, especially in a country where you might not expect, you know, unity on one exact shared goal. But it's great that they're setting an example for the rest of the world, because especially when you understand that an unhealthy environment impacts everyone. Everyone, not just like everyone in the house, not everyone in the city, everyone in the world, Earth, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's global. So yeah, I think, especially when you take into account that the world just has 9 years to prevent irreversible damage to the environment, it's great that people are actually taking initiative to find solutions to these problems.
Yeah, for example, the scientists, like, we really need to value these people, because they know the science behind why climate change is happening and how to stop climate change. And some people really don't trust their scientists. For example, anti-vaxxers, they don't trust the science behind the vaccines. And it's the same problem for climate change. Many people don't trust the scientists. They think it's a government hoax. They think the government made it up. And so I think that we need to trust and value these scientists and listen to what they're saying, because what they're saying is not some government hoax or ploy. It's backed up by real science and real facts.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I completely agree with that. You just said everything that was on my mind. Yeah. I think that's really important to trust the scientists. And especially as you were talking about, you know, activists about, you know, fighting for change, talking to representatives. That is definitely one part of the equation. It's extremely important. But we also have to think, like, when you see a lot of these activists on, you know, getting mass recognition, awards, everything, we also have to think about the scientists that are actually putting restrictions, and I shouldn't say restrictions, but I'm saying taking steps towards solving the problem. I think we need to value those scientists as much, if not more, than the actual activists, right?
Yeah.
Because activism only takes you so far. But the activism is fighting for change, and that change can only be done by scientists, by your representatives, by officials, right? I think especially with scientists, we need to actually acknowledge them. Yeah, we just need to really appreciate what they're doing, because they're the ones that are actually using the data, great models to analyze and actually find out what we need to do, when we need to do it, and how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
I also think that the politicians need to recognize that these scientists are telling the truth. For example, definitely on the right side of America, or the right side political party, where they're saying that climate change is a hoax, they don't really trust the science behind it, nor have they really looked and thought about the science behind it. So I do really think that the politicians really need to trust the scientists. For example, when Trump said to drink bleach to get rid of COVID-19, he did not trust the science at all. It was a bit crazy during those times. But right now that the left side is in control of most of our parties out here. I really do think that America is taking a right step forward, especially with Biden and his new Green New Deal. I really do think that we are taking a step in the right direction, just like India.
See the irony in that? Like, you were saying the left is in control, but then we're taking the right step towards it.
See? Oh, irony. My God.
See, it makes sense. Okay, anyway. Yeah, anyway, if we go back to 2020, yeah, you're talking about the bleach stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he said that it was sarcasm, but it was on national television broadcasting to millions of Americans that might not necessarily know that it was supposedly sarcasm, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, a lot of poison, all of those calls actually went up during that time. And yeah, that's one example of, I think, a lot of disbelief on the right side of politics. I think there's definitely, it's not a one-sided issue, like just if we get rid of the right, everything's gonna go. It's not like one of those, right?
Yeah.
Because, because both sides are very educated. They have very educated people on both sides, right? Yeah. And there are people taking policy changes that make sense for the best of America. Where the problem comes in is when people are taking steps and stances that are not for the benefit of the country, but for the benefit of the party. And we see this happening on both the left and the right, right?
Yep.
So yeah, I really think that that's one of the major points that in American politics, at least, really needs to be corrected.
Yeah,
and I've even observed this in India a lot. There are many parties in India, from my experience, that are really, you see, like India is more politically free, I'd say personally, than America, because in India there's a lot of political parties, and you know, started off with just a few, right? The INC, the BJP, but now there's so much on all ends of the spectrum, every single thing you can think of.
Yeah.
And if you tie that in with local parties, state parties, so many variations. Yeah, I really think there's a mix. And yeah, it's not just about one end of the spectrum. I think everyone has to share a sole purpose, and that purpose has to be a goal, which right now I think an important one is climate change.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't have much to add after it.
Unity and diversity. I think that's a quote I heard somewhere.
We're glad
India's taking this step, and keep talking to your local representatives, officials, and yeah, let's make sure that we end this crisis for this generation and generations to come.
Thank you everyone for listening to today's episode of the One Second Podcast. We all have a great day.
Yeah. Have a great day, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
Cool.
See you guys on the next episode. Bye.
Gurgaon had set up a forest called Aravali Biodiversity Park, planted almost 1,25,000 trees over years together through citizen action. But government says, oh well, it takes so much time for citizens of Delhi and Gurgaon to reach Manesar. Cars need to move faster and faster, and therefore, let's build a 6-lane highway through this entire forest that was not created by the government, that was created by the citizens over their own sweat and love and work. We want a highway. We want a fancy highway. Did people speak? Some people did. Many of you, us, did not speak at all, because Gurgaon is a fancy city. Cyber Hub is so amazing. Every restaurant is there, and you know, it's the nightlife is minus the bouncers and a few fights here and there. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. 2 kilometers from your college is a very, very good place, an area called Sarojini Nagar. Right? I'm sure all of you know about it. I don't know why the smile, why a cushy of a kind that you actually got, but Sarojini Nagar will not be Sarojini Nagar anymore. 11,000 trees of Sarojini Nagar are to be cut so that, and not just Sarojini Nagar, but Netaji Nagar and 6-5 other colonies, 17,000 trees of this particular area are to be cut so that Sarkari Babus can build their houses there, and there could be car park for 1 lakh cars and a few more malls that could be built in Sarojini Nagar area, in Netaji Nagar area, in Nairoji Nagar area. Many of us spoke about it for months together, but citizens of Delhi perhaps want more malls. Do you need more malls in Delhi, or do you need fresh air? Do you actually need more days to live? Do you think it's fashionable to really wear a mask and walk into your classroom? Is there a fashion? I'm sure eventually there will be a brand that will say, oh, well, you know, this one looks cooler. This mask is cooler than the other. Or this one is in vogue or the other. I'm sure, because you don't have a choice. You will not have a choice but to wear a mask to your potty room. That's the reality that we all are signing up for. But why are we all not speaking up about these things that are there staring at our face? This is not somebody else's problem. This is not that I've dug out and found out from Dantewada or from villages of say, Tamil Nadu. These are stories of the biggest capitals or biggest cities of our country. Groundwater. The government report says that by 2030, almost 21 major cities of our country will not have groundwater at all. Delhi is going to run out of water in a few years. These things that are actually spoken about already is in public domain. And if it does not solicit reaction, response, behavior, some kind of a tuk-tuk to you, to bolne ka kya fayda? It's better that it's not spoken, it remains unspoken. I will end with sharing with you something when people spoke. There's 40% of our India's copper comes from a factory called Sterlite. In 1992, there was a factory that was to be set up in Ratnagiri in Maharashtra. The people there protested. They said they do not want a factory in their backyard. They protested. Ratnagiri had to move the entire factory somewhere. And suddenly Tamil Nadu said, oh, well, come set up this factory in my backyard. Violating every environmental norms, Sterlite was actually set up in Tuticorin in Tamil Nadu in 94. Since then, several times, several cases, every rule have been violated. They've been challenged, shut down by the Supreme Court, by the High Court, by the pollution control boards, because people there, the poor people there, the farmers and the citizens, actually were, you know, every week there were cases of breathlessness and sometimes cancer. Many people, just last year, it was March, in fact, last year, they said enough is enough. They had actually protested earlier as well. They got together and they were protesting against this factory that was killing them. It wasn't about anything else. It was actually killing them, and they started protesting on the streets of Tuticorin. What happened? There were 13 people who were murdered by the police in broad daylight for speaking up. And they were speaking up for clean air, clean water, and a right to live. Now, two things here about everything that I've spoken right now, two things. One, you know, we cannot leave the business of speaking to the poorest of the poor. Poorest of the poor do not have the agency. We have to, people like yourself and myself and all of us who have more agency, who speak English, who eat burger, who actually have better lifestyle, can afford to stand up. We need to speak up for ourselves and also for the poorest and the poorest and the marginalized of our country, because if we do not speak up, there's no planet. You know, you can imagine that perhaps you can buy a lot of these things, buy fresh air, but our air doesn't come from an air purifier. It comes from trees. Your water does not come from a water purifier or an aqua guard. It still comes from your rivers and your underground water. You need to go, you know, education. Our education needs to be applied at the right place, and we all need to speak up and hear up and do things around us. And this is no romance that I'm talking about. This is not a romantic world that we're trying to imagine. This is the selfish world in which, so that my family members do not die because of cancer and your children don't wake up with asthma. That's my only call. And that's why I speak today the unspoken. Thank you.